with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Marnie Roper. Sponsorships and affiliations are integral to keeping 2RPH on the air, and we are very pleased today to introduce listeners of AbleQuest to one such sponsor, Genie Mobile, a telecommunications provider with a difference. Launched in 2013, Genie Mobile has grown out of the successful efforts of a charity called Community Connections, which has been operating since 1987. As a not-for-profit organisation, Genie Mobile is an example of what is known as a social enterprise. That is, it serves a broad cross-section of people with disabilities by undertaking an entrepreneurial commercial activity that generates the funds necessary to provide those services. As a telecommunications provider, Genie serves the needs of the general telco consumer, offering customers the usual bundled options with the advantage of very competitive pricing. But over and above this, Genie provides the option of a help package, which includes a 24/7 help service and a GPS locator service. These mobile solutions aim to help people be independent and involved in the community. By being a telco customer of Genie, you can help fund the free services, training programs, and the ability to provide continual support for people living with a disability. All profits generated by Genie go back into the community. Jeremy Way is the co-founder and general manager of Genie Mobile. As you will hear, his experience equips him ideally to lead a social enterprise such as Genie. Barbara Sullivan asked about his background and the philosophy behind Genie Mobile.
Quite a lengthy history, really. My family goes back into disability almost 70 years. My grandparents were Neil and Audrey McLeod, and they founded the Spastic Centre of New South Wales, which is now Cerebral Palsy Alliance.
I remember that name.
So I've grown up within disability all my life. My mother is the CEO of our organisation, and she sat on the board of Cerebral Palsy Alliance, the Spastic Centre, for 20-odd years. So I always swore black and blue that I would never work in disability, and yet here I am. My aunt was born with cerebral palsy, and she's the reason why the Spastic Centre was founded. So disability for me is just a part of our normal existence. One of my earliest memories, in fact, is in the hallways of the then Spastic Centre of New South Wales. There was a fantastic receptionist named Dawn, who was a person with cerebral palsy, and I think I was about 4 years of age, and my earliest memory is running down the hallways and being yelled at by Dawn to stop running. So I literally have just grown up within disability. Our organisation is an organisation called Community Connections Australia. It's a not-for-profit organisation. Mm-hmm. It was founded in 1987. It is an organisation that provides direct support services to people living with a very broad cross-section of disabilities. And we've been doing that, as I said, since 1987. We have a general philosophy of providing people with the level of support that they need individually to live an independent life of their choice, in the communities of their choice, with the people that they choose to live with. Now, that's a very nice high-level philosophy to have. What we have done over the last 27 years is to really focus on individualized services. We've deliberately stayed small. We are not an organization that has ever rattled the can in terms of traditional fundraising. We have always thought that if our philosophy is about providing people with the support they need to live independently, then it is a little bit counterintuitive to also do the glossy photo of the person in a wheelchair saying, please give generously. So we've chosen to go down a path of utilizing the social enterprises and entrepreneurial activities to try and bridge the ever-growing funding gap between what we're funded to do and what we actually do.
So Genie Mobile is one of these entrepreneurial
activities. That's exactly
activities.
Yes. So what we did was, the genesis of this starts actually in the early 90s, where we launched a whole range of community living kits, as they were called back then, which were guides for people moving out of institutionalised environments and congregate care environments mm-hmm. into their own houses. And it was a range of booklets that were designed to provide people with the experiential learning that they had missed out on by way of being restricted to either institutional or congregate care solutions. So things like, you know, how do you queue up? How do you withdraw money from a bank? What is the proper behaviour for getting on a bus?
All
you know,
of those
you don't scream in a bank. All of that sort of stuff that you learn by doing. But if you're a person who lives with a disability who has had very limited exposure into the community yourself, or someone who has limited speech, and you have a carer or a support worker with you all the time, then you typically miss out on that experiential learning. So we tried to envisage a way that we could refresh those booklets utilising technology, and we originally started with a software project which morphed into a mobile phone solution. And the reason it morphed was that what we found was that technology solutions are fun and they're useful and they're very good fun to develop and play with, but they're very difficult to apply to every disability situation. Disability is uniquely individual. No one's disability is the same as anyone else's. As human beings, we tend to understand the world through categorising things, and we like to put things into convenient buckets so people are either physically disabled or intellectually disabled or might have an acquired disability. But that really doesn't mean anything because everyone is uniquely different. And that's a bit of a truism. But when you're developing technology products to provide solutions for people across a broad range of disability types, it's really hard to do. So what we did was we sat down and we pulled the problem apart, and we thought, well, what is it that people actually need to live independent lives? Now, we have always defined independence to be engagement with your local community at whatever level that might be. Mm-hmm. So for some people, it might mean a return to work following a catastrophic accident. For other people, it could be as simple as going up to the corner shop and buying a litre of milk independently for the first time in their lives. And it could be anything in between. So we sat down and thought, well, what is it that people really need? And again, another truism in hindsight, what we landed at was that people actually just need the support that they need when they need it and only for as long as they need it. And at that point, we should back off and just allow people to get on with their lives.
And they want to be able to be proactive in getting
exactly
that support.
Right. That's right.
Rather
and
than
to be able to
respond.
That's exactly right. And that's the proactivity of it is, and individual choice and control.
Yes.
These are the things that we hear a lot about under the new National Disability Insurance Scheme, which is fantastic in principle. Individual choice and control is what it really is about. Now, where we landed at that was that the easiest way to provide people with that support was a telephone-based call centre solution.
Mm-hmm.
So if people could reach out for the support when they needed it, then it became almost obvious to us that we could do that via a call centre. Now, the call centre would have to have some specific training imperatives attached to it. People would have to actually be trained in how to support people with disabilities or people who have difficult expressive speech, or in some cases no expressive speech, or people who might be a little bit anxious, or people who might be a little bit obsessive, and just to be able to provide people with the support that they needed. Now, this is the notion that became our help centre. So the Genie Mobile Help Centre is a call centre. It's based in Parramatta. It is staffed by people who are specifically trained to provide support for people living with disabilities, and they are there just to solve problems. It's run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we just literally provide support for people. It doesn't matter what the support is required. I'll give you an example. It could be, help, I've fallen and I'm bleeding and I need an ambulance, and we've had a few of those instances. Or it could be simply, I've had a really bad day and I just want to talk to someone. Or it could be, I'm in a wheelchair and the bus is supposed to be a low floor bus and it's just come past me and it's not. What do I do now? And anything in between.
So you have to have a very skilled call centre staff to deal with that variety of
concerns. Well, yes and no. What we found is that we need to have people who are very practiced and capable at just providing good customer service. That's really what it comes down to. Someone who is prepared to listen and someone who's just a good problem solver. Often, the first level of issue that is presented is not the real issue. That you need to just dig a bit and listen and find out what the real problem is. Sometimes We have people who have very difficult expressive speech, a lot of people who might have cerebral palsy or motor neuron disease or MS, and it's very difficult to understand people over the phone, and we have to train people specifically to just get into the rhythm and the flow of what someone is trying to say. Mm. And that takes a little bit of time. It's more about suspending the internal voice, the one that says, oh, I'm not understanding what this person's saying, when you suspend that and start listening, it's very easy. You pick up one word and then two words and then the sentence becomes clear and you fall into a rhythm. And that's what we train our people to do.
So the call centre becomes more important for people if they've got a phone that they can actually call the call centre with.
That's right. So this is how we ended up with the mobile phone company. We call ourselves the accidental telco. We did not envisage at the start of this that we would end up being a mobile phone service provider. In fact, we had no idea that that's where we'd end up. But it became very obvious to us that if we were going to provide a call centre solution for people, then we needed to provide a way to make it accessible, safe and secure, and financially affordable for people. And this became the real issue for us, is how do we actually make it accessible for people? So there were two issues there. The first is the physical accessibility aspect of how do you make the hardware accessible and affordable. And we had to deal with that through a range of applications, smartphone applications, that either simplify the user interface and take the complexity away from a smartphone, or present people who might have limited literacy or numeracy skills with the ability to be able to make calls to people without necessarily having to read, picture-based dialing, sort of thing, through to a range of apps that provide people with a degree of safety and security options. So, for example, GPS tracking solutions, simple one-button apps that contact our help centre and make it very simple for people to navigate around the complexity of a smartphone. So that covered off the physical accessibility side of things. And we developed those range of apps ourselves, either in-house or we partnered with other developers to offer their solutions to people. But the financial accessibility problem was manifest. We've, as a disability service provider ourselves, and everyone who's ever worked in the sector has got horror stories of how people have entered into mobile phone contracts that are deliberately complex, confusing, and end up with owing ridiculous sums of money. And we've all had to go to various ombuds people and have contracts cancelled or avoided. And we desperately needed to solve that problem. Mm. So we actually started shopping ourselves around to the various telcos to see what might actually be a solution to that. We had no idea what it would end up. We just had a problem. And the problem that needed to be solved was, how do we make this safe, secure, easily affordable for people living with disabilities?
We'll continue this conversation with Jeremy Way, General Manager and Co-Founder of Genie Mobile, in the next program of AbleQuest. In the meantime, if anyone would like to contact Genie Mobile, the website is genie.org.au, genee.org.au.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.